Hello, everyone. I'm Tech Sergeant Shane Hughes, and you're listening to Beyond the Horizon, a podcast produced by the Ohio Air National Guard's 178th Wing in Springfield, Ohio. Joining us today is Lieutenant Colonel Brad Kennedy, who recently coordinated a delegation of doctors from Serbia who toured the local area hospitals to learn about their response to the COVID-19 pandemic. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I guess I should say welcome back to the show.
Indeed.
So, if you would, go ahead and start off by telling me a little bit about our state partnership program. What is it, and how did you get involved with it?
Well, the state partnership program is an NGB-driven program that allows states to partner with nations from throughout the world. I believe there's something along the lines of 88 relationships currently, where we have sister nations that we affiliate with and engage in a series of training or exercises or other cooperative engagements to build relationships and to learn from one another. So Ohio happens to have two formal relationships. One is with the nation of Serbia that we've had for the past 15 years, and then another partnership, formal partnership that we have is with Hungary. We have an informal partnership currently with Angola as well. So we have those three partnerships that we continue to build upon, and moving forward, I anticipate will just grow deeper.
And so how did you get involved?
So the as it relates to my position in both the Army and the Air side, I've always been part of medical and planning engagements, been tapped for my experience and expertise, whether it's deploying a Role 2 or doing field medical operations in various austere environments. So previously, in my prior Army life, I was invited to build a medical plan, combined medical engagement, between Ohio and Serbia to provide medical care to some remote villages in their southern provinces. So over a period of months in 2016, we built this plan, which was then executed. That plan included some Angolan observers and was the foundation that was laid for 2017's medical engagement in Angola. I changed positions briefly, focusing primarily on domestic operations. In that time, I transitioned to the Air Force, and when I took my current assignment, the State Partnership Program Director, aware of my previous experience, tapped me to assist in some knowledge exchanges with both Angola and Serbia when we were in a more virtual environment dealing with the height of the COVID response.
So building on that, what was the genesis of this delegation's visit to the local area, and what was the purpose behind it?
At the very beginning of this year, in January, Major Centauri, who's the bilateral affairs officer, reached out to the SPP director at the time, Lieutenant Colonel Bucher, looking for a way for the Military Medical Academy in Belgrade to engage with and parties here to share best practices and challenges. And we focused on four broad categories. Those categories included treatment modalities dealing with COVID, preventive medicine, diagnostic technologies, because testing was rapidly changing, and psychosocial elements of dealing with the COVID response. So we reached out to some of the individuals, organizations, the hospitals locally that we had partnered with, because we don't do a lot of direct treatment. We're not active duty. We don't have medical treatment facilities on our bases. We do have trained professionals that can share their expertise. And as you know, we've incorporated a lot of best practices at our base, whether it's social distancing and cleaning and sanitation, DOD-driven efforts, things that we could share. But they were also looking for patient treatment. So those partners that we had as we were looking for ways to increase hospital bed capacity in the region, we talked to those partners and they were willing to share some of their doctors' insights, and they actually participated sharing some of their treatment challenges, some cutting edge opportunities that they were fielding to try to improve patient care or the timeliness of patient care as it related to COVID. And so over the course of 12 weeks, we repeated these four subjects three times over this 3-month period, having different speakers and different presentations. And our side would present for approximately 25 minutes. We'd have a question and answer session, and then the Military Medical Academy would present their speakers, and then for 25 minutes we would have a question and answer session. And it was very well received. A lot came out of it. It was a great experience for both our military and civilian partners. And it led to discussions about bringing a delegation from the Military Medical Academy here to do hospital visits, actually boots on ground, as things improved. And that's what happened.
Would you go ahead and start by giving me just a rough overview of the trip itinerary and tell me why each of these different visits were important for this delegation?
Well, when we started putting together the itinerary, we wanted to incorporate not just the business end of the trip, but we wanted to incorporate some of the local culture and let the delegation know. Most of them, three of the four, had never been to the United States, let alone Ohio. So this would be a good opportunity to showcase not only the hospitals, but a lot of the wonderful history that we have. So we took that into mind. We had some volunteers that assisted with the itinerary, reaching out to some of the local areas because we knew we were going to focus on Dayton area hospitals. We took advantage of some of the historical attractions. So what we ended up doing is when they identified the dates that they had, we wanted to give them a day to acclimate and get over their schedule change and give them the opportunity to get settled in. So we planned some trip things on the first day. So we took them to the Howe Caverns and the Neil Armstrong Museum and let them learn some of our local history, some of our local sites, and swung by Kaiser Lake State Park on the way back to their hotel. So just a way to get them up and out and seeing things. We transitioned into business mode on the following day where we had four weeks prior to their coming, we had coordination calls with local hospitals. So based on their operations and what they were dealing with, we ended up outlining a schedule that fit, that allowed their medical staff and their C-suite leadership to be able to engage the delegation. And so the first business day ended up including the Greater Dayton Area Hospital Association, which serves as an umbrella organization who played a central role in the redistribution of medical supplies, putting together best practices and aligning everything from visitor restrictions and COVID PPE redistribution and things amongst the hospitals. So basically, despite the fact that we have multiple hospital organizations that are otherwise marketplace competitors, they work together in conjunction with GDAHA to bring the best possible care to the Dayton region populace. So the GDAHA, we wanted them on the schedule the first day so they could talk about their role they played, and they could also talk on a wider scale about the Dayton area hospital system. We also hit Children's Hospital, which is a unique hospital focusing primarily on the pediatric population, and they're a special hospital that's well-vested in our surrounding community. So those were break-in visits that set the tone for the rest of the week. The third day involved a visit to two primary hospital systems, Kettering Medical Center and Miami Valley, the premier hospitals. So we visited Kettering's Operations Center, and we visited Miami Valley Hospital, their primary facility. The tour at the EOC there that they had, which was separate from the actual hospital campus, was a unique experience because they had a lot of their response vehicles that they had brought out, and they have some terrific systems that tracks hospital bed usage, as well as some logistical things and patient movement. And it was a good experience for the delegation to kind of see and be able to witness some of the technology that these hospitals have in play too. That might be new to them. There was a lot of question and answer opportunity. When we went to Miami Valley, which focused on the hospital proper, again, C-suite leadership came in. The doctors that head their operations, the chief of the medical operations, you know, came in and provided the tour. They got to visit, you know, the labs, the ER, some of the ICU areas. They visited CareFlight and got to see the air ambulance and get a view of Dayton like they wouldn't otherwise get. So that was a great day. Then we went on to the fourth day, which was Cultural Day. And we focused on, of course, the Wright brothers. We went to the Air Force Museum. They had a special tour. They got pre-opening access, and they had a guided tour. What the gentleman did a fantastic job. I think we hit most of the Air Force Museum within several hours. Then we went to Carillon Park, and they got to see the original Wright Flyer that's housed there. And get a quick roundabout tour of the Carillon Park facilities. Again, a guided tour, exceptionally well done. And then Gedaha had provided a suite for the Dayton Dragons baseball game, which ended in wonderful American fashion with a walk-off Grand Slam home run in the bottom of the ninth for the Dayton Dragons. Then Thursday, we focused on the military side, where we attended Wright-Patt Medical Center. And then we went to see USAF SAM, where there's some world-class training provided to not only our service members, but they host foreign doctors and medical personnel for training there that have been cleared to attend. So both of those were eye-opening experience. And then we wrapped up the week at the Springfield Air National Guard Base with a mission brief from our wing commander, and then a hosted lunch from the 178th Key Volunteer Team. And then an SPP discussion on the way forward. So it was a very busy week with some long days, but it gave them great perspective on Ohio history and American baseball and all of our medical facilities.
So if you could just, I know you've already touched on this a little bit, but could you just drill down on why this trip, this delegation's visit, was important both for Serbia and for the Ohio National Guard?
Yes. So, you know, the partnership's big on, you know, we've engaged with Serbia as one of our countries because it helps with regional security, the military cooperation and that regional stability that goes with it, and the opportunity for us to be able to build relationships, grow closer together and learn from each other. It's a knowledge exchange. And there's multiple ways to do things, and to be able to see people accomplish similar objectives with different equipment or taking different avenues is key. And there's always takeaways for both sides. So the virtual platform that we used early on, those PowerPoint presentations and the doctors talking about, you know, whether it's trial medications or approaches taken to keep both employees safe as well as patients safe, to be able to actually have boots on ground and to be able to see facilities firsthand, to be able to meet and greet people that have been on the front line and they're able to share their perspective. I think it's important, one, because we're breaking bread together. We're actually sharing space and we can talk about how our goals and objectives align. It amazed me at the ways that these medical providers talked and worked and focused on areas of improvement to do what they do, and that's take care of people. So all of them have showed a great deal of resilience over the past year, and for them to witness them talking about their shared struggles as well as the way forward and understand that even though they might not necessarily have the same equipment or the same technology, they have the same end goal in mind, and we are able to pull from one another in that regard. So it was fruitful. It was a fruitful conversation, and I think it met its intent. And I think that the delegation went away knowing more firsthand about what we have and what we're dealing with. And then our team, whether it's the military partners or the civilian partners, they came away with a better perspective on what the delegation has on their end. Very similar. There's a lot of similarities between the two of us on the good, bad, and ugly side. So I think it served as a validation of what we've all been witnessing, whether it's miscommunication regarding, you know, or false information being spread dealing with vaccine, you know, political environment, money, lack of, you know, PPE or the fielding of trial treatments. It's a shared thing. Both sides of the world, we're dealing with the same stuff.
How did this partnership help strengthen the relationship between Serbia and the Ohio National Guard?
After nearly 15 years of the broad-based relationship that we've built, the relationship that we have with Serbia goes well beyond our typical military-to-military cooperation with all the different focuses that we have and the different occupational specialties. And so these relationships have built and brought us closer. It's more like the bond that you would see amongst family. So when we have the opportunity to bring specialties together, and in this case, medical, we have the opportunity to understand each other better, and we are able to communicate in an open, honest way. And when you're talking about medical, that's important because you're not only trying to improve your organization, but you're trying to help the people, the population that you're there to treat. And for us, for them, it's, you know, they're dealing with military at the Military Medical Academy, but they've also been taking care of civilians. And for us, we're taking care of our military members, but we're also taking care of civilians. And whether, you know, this COVID pandemic is a disaster and we're responding to a disaster. And as long as we're communicating in an honest and open way, and whether or not we agree or whether or not we have the same capabilities, but working together to come up with solutions and validating that we're traveling down the right road, that's important and that's a key. And so it's critical, it's been critical for us to be able to come together and have this group cohesiveness and this understanding that, one, we're not in this fight alone, right? And we're not out on an island suffering, that there's other people suffering with us. The resilience is there, and we're all looking for answers. And while we might have some, other people have some, and it goes to the old saying, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So and that builds trust. When you can acknowledge deficiencies, when you can take away and borrow and learn from one another, the relationship gets tighter. And the medical, while one small piece of the overall relationship, it's been key because we're here to help people. And for the both of us, for the delegation and for those of us stateside, that helping people involves our families and our friends. So there's a lot of investment there from us. So we're not just helping each other, we're helping our families and friends.
So what plans for future training and collaboration do we have moving forward?
Well, there's a lot of things that are coming down the pike from what I understand. I only get engaged with the medical piece of it, but I understand that we have our 178th Wing Chaplain Branch is going to be going over to Serbia as part of a chaplain effort. Major Musman is traveling. I believe he's in Hungary right now, but he's got some plans on tap. We are, as a part of the Friday, the last day that when we talked about the way ahead, there's a lot of focus from a medical standpoint on medical training, looking at subspecialties, taking advantage of some of the coursework that's offered through USAF-SAM, the combined medical engagement similar to what was conducted in 2016 in Serbia and 2017 in Angola, doing more joint partnerships like that. There was a lot of talk about psychiatric collaboration and that psychosocial wellness aspect, wanting to get more engaged between Serbian. They don't have social workers like we do, but getting their specialists linked up with our specialist and doing some collaboration on that road. And I think there was a couple of other things that were talked about in more of a roundabout fashion, specifically fielding TCCC training teams and some of the things that we've executed in the past, just continuing to evolve those. With Major Musman coming in, he replaced Lieutenant Colonel Bucher, who's the new SPP director. He's getting his feet wet rather quickly. I would imagine we'll all see some additional traffic coming out in the future about the way ahead for not just Serbia, but Hungary and Angola as well.
I don't know how much our audience knows about the state partnership program in general, but for me personally, when I think about the SPP, I think about that military-to-military relationship. I don't think so much about the military-to-civilian or civilian-to-civilian relationship. Would you mind talking a little bit about how those relationships are distinct and why they're beneficial?
I haven't been as involved in the sieve to sieve, but I know there was some discussion about us dealing with mixed populations. Again, the Military Medical Academy, they are dealing with civilians and military, and our airmen do that as well. The civilians have been at the hospitals, have been active in the engagement with knowledge exchange efforts with Serbia. So it broadens the scope, and I think it deepens the relationship when it's not just mill to mill. And you get different perspectives as it relates to operations, as it relates to efforts. We spoke about that a little bit in the past week when the delegation was on ground, that the civilian side, like the military structure is very regimented. Everybody falls under the same FI. It's not commercial. We're operationally focused. We all use pretty much the same equipment. When you bring civilian players into it, they have typically broader scopes. While they have the same end goal in mind, the way they get to those specific objectives is usually different. They have their own guidelines and structures, some of which GEDAHA had helped smooth over during the COVID response operations. For the most part, they're different organizations with their own different ground rules and their own different, you know, vision and mission and perspectives. So when you allow the mill to sieve engagement to take place, and you're getting responses and you're getting feedback from individuals that don't necessarily have to play by our playbook because they're not governed by those AFIs. They have their own medical practices. They're actually treating people, or they're using a different kind of equipment. You know, one of the pieces of equipment that one of the hospitals showed the delegation, they took keen interest in, wasn't something that we've seen or used in our military side, but it was a little over-the-head papper, like that had a push-button start, and it would basically have positive airflow within this helmet mask outfit that went right over the top of a clinical provider's head and keep them safe in a known COVID environment. And so they took a lot of interest in that. That's not something we would have been able to show them or share with them. So you get other perspectives and you get other feedback when you involve the civilian sector to be able to engage with them. So I think it's fantastic that the state of Ohio has been engaged and willing to explore the sieve to sieve aspect of this relationship and the mill to sieve relationship. It keeps us from being confined and allows us to open more doors. And who knows, the possibilities of where this could go are endless.
So there were a couple of days built into the itinerary specifically dedicated to cultural events that you spoke about. Why were those important for this visit? And how do those cultural events develop lasting friendships between your team and the Serbian medical team?
As it relates to the cultural days, so the cultural days in our planning process served a couple of purposes. One, we wanted to have some downtime where the Serbians could relax and rest. We didn't have to worry about interfacing with senior leaders, going through formal presentations, and people could just put on some comfortable casual clothes and go out into the public and interface. And, you know, we were blessed with some really good weather. The second piece of it is allowing foreign visitors to see how we live, to learn some of our history, what makes us Ohio, what makes us American, and to see things, elements that they wouldn't otherwise get to see. And you know, surprisingly enough, we planned these deliberately. There was somewhat of an air theme affiliated with the cultural days, with the Wright brothers, with Neil Armstrong. So there was a lot of focus on that history because that's unique to Ohio, that's unique to Dayton, and it's something special. And while every, you know, place has its own unique history, the fact that, you know, we were the home to the individual that walked on the moon up in Wapak and the Ohio Caverns, getting down and seeing some of those crystal formations and things, and just being a part of what's unique to Ohio while they're here on ground, we felt was meaningful. It helps produce a lasting memory, and it's a shared bond between them and us. And I was surprised at how many of our service members that were tagging along hadn't been to some of these key areas too. So it was eye-opening, not just for the delegation, but some of our airmen took advantage of it. And then with the military history that's affiliated with the Wright-Patt Air Force Museum, that's a place that you could spend days at. We've had senior leaders have talking tours going through that place, but the history that's shown, the leadership that you can see, and some of the writings that are on the walls and stuff, it's, I learn something new every time I go into that facility. But between the Wright Flyer and then going to the Dayton Dragons baseball game and seeing a baseball game, having that hair down moment where you can just relax, speak freely, be yourselves, and engage, see the citizens of Ohio enjoying themselves and actually being a part of it, that's what builds that tie. That's what gives them a little bit of that at-home feeling that if all we did was business and stick them in their hotel room, they wouldn't get. So for us, building that in was intentional. We rounded out the trip with a lunch at a very popular local diner and a walk through historical tip, and it was comfortable for them. So it was nice. It was a fun event. The ladies that helped in the planning of that did a really good job, and the hosts that provided the guided tours on all of those did an exceptional job as well.
Yeah, I know when I spoke with Danilo, one of the things he had said to me was that his favorite part of the trip was actually the cookout at your house, because it gave him insight and perspective on how Americans truly live, because his only exposure to how Americans live was through TV and movies that he had watched in Serbia.
I'm glad that he enjoyed it. I think that everybody enjoyed it, but we wanted to have a backyard barbecue and make them dinner. And, you know, we had some other folks that came and ended up becoming a backyard party. You know, we had our delegation, the host. I think that my neighbors came over and brought a dish, and so they just got to relax and enjoy a true backyard event. And I can appreciate where he's coming from, because there's something to be said when you get a little bit deeper than the commercial aspects of things. If you visit another country and you go to a restaurant, that's one thing. If you visit another country and you're hosted by a family and you're having dinner and you're breaking bread at their table, that's an entirely different thing. So we wanted to build that in and give them an opportunity just to kick back at a local residence and enjoy some cooked out food.
This podcast is in general focused on leadership for our younger airmen. And I know that I personally was very impressed with all of the planning that you put into this in advance. It seemed like you had thought of every conceivable possibility. With that in mind, what lessons learned or advice would you have for any airmen, officers and enlisted, who may be working on their own project that they're managing?
My number one suggestion is don't go it alone, right? There's people that are eager to help. We're lucky enough in the 178th to have a very strong key volunteer team. And there were two individuals from that team, the leader, Susie, and I believe the secretary, Mary, that assisted. And then they all came together, including Heise and Kristen, to do the potluck for the Friday event at the base. So they actually did a potluck meal. But they helped. They did a lot of the footwork. They did a lot of the phone calls. They did a lot of the coordination. Once we got a rough agenda, they took care of a lot of the cultural day stuff and helping do some of the coordination. On the flip side, the hospitals, I have to give them credit, because once they were approached, once Gadaha talked to the hospitals and we knew who we were going to have, and not just hospitals, but Wright-Patt Med Center and the USAF SAM training facility, but they engaged. We had multiple coordination calls with all of them, talking through the agenda, talking through elements of the safety and security brief that the delegates would receive when they came on ground. They were exceptional hosts. So all I had to do was do the preliminary planning and work with the BAO to get them over here. But I had a lot of individuals that jumped in and took a chunk. It wasn't me doing everything myself. But I would be amiss if I didn't show significant appreciation for the way that the hospitals hosted and treated and laid out the red carpet. The fact that their senior leadership, all the way up to the CEOs at these facilities, came down, presented, and spoke with a delegation was phenomenal. And it takes a lot when you try to block off a doctor's time. So they were very gracious to our delegates. The other thing I would say is get ahead of it. Get whatever the project is, get ahead of it. Don't wait till the last minute. A lot of these things, especially when you're talking about pieces that involve timelines and things that are not in your control, you know, start well in advance. Start the coordination calls early. Identify the areas that are potential risks of falling through the cracks. We had a couple of those, and we had to be willing to flex when some things didn't work out. In the end, it all works out. But if you try not to hold the bag by yourself, and you start your planning early, and you stay engaged, don't back burner anything. Anything's possible. You just gotta stay vigilant with it.
So it sounds like delegation, teamwork, and adaptability.
That's a good way to summarize it. Yes.
What should people know that we haven't already discussed?
I think that they need to know that the SPP program exists. And if it's something that interests them, I've already mentioned our partners, Serbia, Hungary, and informally Angola. Get a book and read about those countries. There's language platforms. Get your passport. Get some teaching certifications, and when opportunities arise and fragos come down, sign up and go learn about a culture outside of Ohio and do what you can to help build the relationship and, you know, raise your hand when we're looking for volunteers. There's the world is a really small place anymore, and taking advantage of opportunities like this to help build these relationships is key. And it's not that hard to posture yourself to be able to take part. And I think that anybody that did or that has will tell you that it's been a worthwhile. It's been one of those jobs. You know, we go through training on a regular basis. This is one of those things that there's fruits to the labor. There's something that comes out of it. And it's going to be rewarding for you, and it's going to be rewarding for our partners. So posture yourself to be able to take part and volunteer when the time comes.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure. I look forward to next time.
That concludes today's episode of Beyond the Horizon. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review. If you're looking for more ways to connect with the 178th Wing, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also write to us at beyondthehorizonpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, keep your eyes on the horizon.